Good to see everybody. Glad y'all are here. Man, 2020 is quite a year, isn't it? I heard somebody say, I always wondered what it would be like to live through the Great Depression or the Civil War or the 1918 pandemic. I just didn't know it all happened like 3 months. And man, we have such an opportunity. I know I'm holding the pencil. This is how I live my life with pencils. I hate pens because sometimes I'd like to erase things. Don't you like to erase things? I don't have a title for the last probably three, and this will be like the fourth message that I've spoken, but I don't have an official one, but when I saved all of these messages in my computer, I saved them under the title like do-over, because how many of y'all would like a do-over from 2020? So far, I would, because 2020 like something else, isn't it? It's crazy. I thought 2019 was bad, and then 2020 showed up. It's like, wow, what the heck happened? And yet, through all of it, God spoke to me at the end of 2019, like November-ish, and whispered probably five or six times up through the beginning of the year, even. Like, he's like, there's a sifting coming. As a pastor, ain't nobody, no pastor wants to hear that. Is a sifting coming? Because the Bible talks about the sifting of believers and realizing that in the last even 4 months, there's been such a sifting because, you know, Jesus, we talk about sifting, we see Jesus spoke to Peter and said, the enemy is coming to sift you like wheat. And there's been no doubt that, man, we've seen the enemy in operation in the world in the last 4 months, probably more than I can ever remember. Would y'all agree or disagree? And so here's what I've found is like the sifting just reveals, like when you walk through craziness and you walk through storms, it just reveals what's in your heart. And if you ever wondered what's really in your heart, Jesus says, we see it twice. He says, from an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in modern terms, it might be from an overflow of the heart, the hands type and post stuff on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and everything else. And it's amazing what's come up in people in the places of fear, in the places of being so right about so much. And so that's, we can look around us and we can be overwhelmed with the amount of information that comes our way. And my heart for you is that you are listening to the right voice. I'm just going to tell you right now, there's only one voice that's always going to speak truth the way, speak life. It is Jesus. And so we are called. This is what, and if you look at the last four or five messages, this is what it is. This is what the church is called to, the church as a whole, not just our church, but the church. We are called to do three simple things. The first one is this, is return to our first love. Jesus speaks in the book of Revelation in chapter 2 about the church at Ephesus. And it's no surprise that my last 3-4 messages have all come out of Ephesians. That's the church at Ephesus. And as Paul writes in the book of Ephesians to that church, Jesus speaks in Revelation out of Revelation 2, and he says, you've done all these great things, but you've lost your first love. Go back and go back and get your first love and do the things that you did at first. And man, I remember what it was like when as a kid, like I had a revelation of God's love for me as a teenager, really, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, where God just like opened my eyes and there was like a light bulb moment that was really just me surrendering my heart to him because it was supposed to be me on that cross. It should have been my sin. And Jesus died for me. And it was very real. And it's just this, it's this life-giving full of joy. Do y'all love joy? Yes. I love like joy. And I'm sure there's people named Joy, maybe even here. Well, I'm just saying, I love you too. But like, I love the place of joy because when Jesus' light shines on us, we like the world can be going to hell in a handbasket and like, we're smiling. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like 3 nights ago, like it had been crazy, a crazy week. And the next day I knew it was gonna be stressful and crazy. And I'm going to sleep. But I can't really sleep because, like, I'm smiling and it doesn't make sense. Like, all of the circumstances around me should be me crying. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And like, it doesn't make sense. And I'm laying in bed and I'm just smiling, just like, and I'm like, this is crazy. I feel so at peace and I feel so full of joy. Like, I'm happy and, like, it doesn't make sense. Why am I smiling? This doesn't make any sense. Because when we walk in the light, the darkness around us has very little impact because we've returned to our true love. We return, and then we have to relearn what it means to walk by the leading of God's Spirit. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been so mad you really want to punch somebody or say something ugly or do something? Have you ever been in a situation where like you just wanted to throw something at somebody or like throw anything or break something? Now, some of y'all say lie and say, no, not really. I don't know who you are. You're not human, okay? But like there have been situations where I've like had to refrain from like tossing over a table or like in my mind, like there's this thing that like you're sitting across from somebody, you just want to like rah, throw the table up and beat the tart. Okay, nobody else. All right, just me. That's my spirit. That's me. We need to relearn what it looks like to be led by God's Spirit in every moment of every day. Christians, by the way, Christian, now we say, oh, they're a very Christian person. See, that's like a compliment. That means that they're nice. But back in the day, Christian wasn't a compliment. It was started by people who hated Jesus, and they called all of his followers little Jesuses. That's what it meant. Oh, they're Christians. They're little Jesuses because they lived like him. And remember, the creator of the universe squeezed into a human form in Jesus. And that's what we're called to live like, to relearn what it looks like to live by a spirit. But mostly here's what we're called to: repent, turn from our sin. Ephesians chapter 4, this was a couple weeks ago. I'm gonna turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, this is what we're called to. Lead a life worthy of your calling. Everybody here is called by God. Lead a life worthy of the call of God on your life. All of us have callings. The same calling that I have in a different way is the same calling that each of you have that is just like the person sitting next to you, just in a different way. We're all called to be used by God. I don't care if you're a teacher, if you're a finance person, if you're a cop, if you stay at home with kids. We are all called to be like Jesus. And here's how he tells us to do that. In verse, he says, be humble and gentle and be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults. See, why does Paul have to say that? Because if we're gonna live according to God's calling, it's easy to make things about us because that's our human nature. It's easy to be harsh and ugly. I get that. That is Todd in a nutshell. By the way, your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness. And one of my great strengths is I have the ability to say what's on my mind clearly and articulately. That's a great strength. It's a terrible weakness. That means if I'm not humble and I wanna put somebody in their place and I don't wanna be gentle, I'll be harsh, I can make them feel really stupid and make other people laugh at them. That's a gift, by the way. It's a gift of God that's being perverted for my own use. Like, oh, not only can I make you look dumb, but other people are gonna find comedy in it and they're gonna laugh at you. So there's also shame and humiliation all at the same time. And there's a temptation to be that. Nobody's tempted in your strengths to make yourself look good and other people look stupid. It's insecurity. We're called to live according to the calling on our life. Humble, gentle, recognizing other people are as messed up as we are. That was two weeks ago. Last week, chapter 5, live as people of light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We are called to live in the light and to let our light shine. This is the battle, though. God, you've got a call on my life. I'm gonna live it. That's battle one. Battle two, God, I'm gonna turn from the darkness of sin and turn to you. If you got those licked, if like you're living out your calling and you are walking in the light and you are walking in freedom from sin, that's awesome. That's where we need to be. But how many of y'all have done that? Like, I'm doing what God's called me to do. Like, and I'm living in the light, but I just messed up. Has anybody ever been there? So how do we get to the place where we're consistently becoming more and more like Jesus? It's the place of victory. And that's the title of today's message, Living in Victory. Here's what victory is. Y'all ready? Victory is simply maintaining the peace because you've won previous battles. I'm gonna say it again. If you're taking notes, and you should be, can I just say one of the greatest resources that I have are all my old sermon notes from other people talking and God speaking to me. I know it was just a person, but like God would show me something, I'd write it down. I go back and look through those notebooks regularly. So take notes, it's just wisdom. If you wanna grow, you don't have to though. Here's all victory is. I won some battles and now I'm gonna do what it takes to keep the peace because the enemy's been defeated. That's all victory is peace maintained. In other words, I'm not gonna just like sit back and think that everything's gonna be good. Are y'all familiar with Newtonian law? Y'all familiar with an aspect of the second law of thermodynamics and Newtonian law? Probably so. You learned it at some point. You know it innately, though. I promise you this. There's an aspect of the second law of thermodynamics that's found in an entropy. Entropy is this universal law that all things are in a constant state of decay. That means if, like, you shuttered up your house and left it for 200 years, you could have shuttered it up tight and caulked everything and, like, sealed it up. Guess what? In 200 years, if you uncaulked it, that thing's still going to have broken down and decayed, right? Does this make sense? I've got kids. If I leave them to their own devices, and it's like, y'all go to your rooms, and I'm not going to check on them for 2 months. When I walk in, let me tell you, it's not going to be like, oh, like clean and sparkly and, look, Father, how beautiful our rooms are. It's going to be a rat's nest because the law of entropy is at work in all of us. So we have to recognize, even though we win a battle, we have to be on guard. Amen. This is victory. Victory isn't like, I won, it's done. Woo, we done, that's it, never again. No, if that was the case, like no army on the earth would, once they won the war, they'd be like, and it's disbanded. We recognize victory requires continual vigilance. How do we live in victory? This is Ephesians chapter 6. If y'all haven't read Ephesians, you should read it. It's good. Ephesians chapter 6 is how do we live in continual victory? Because I'm hoping that you know your calling and you live it. I'm hoping that you're living in the light and that God's light is shining through you. Here we go. Chapter 6, verse 10. We're going to start at verse 10. It says this. This is what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus that lost their first love. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. I'm going to go back to verse 10. Y'all ready? A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. How do we live in victory? Here's how. First step. Stay strong in the Lord. Have you ever had a moment, even of clarity, where you know your calling? You know who you are. You know who Jesus is. You'll never know who you are until you know the one who created you. Not only do you know who you are because you know Jesus, but you know what he's called you to. Man, we just make that stuff up. We make it up. Like, I made it up, even as a Christian. They're like, all right, so I'm good at, like, I'm pretty decent at music, so I must be, like, a musician. Or, like, man, I'm a really good shot, and, like, nobody that I'm hunting with or going to the range with is out shooting me, like, very seldom. So, like, I must be a hunter. I must be a marksman. Oh, wait a minute, though, but I'm also really, really good with dirt bikes. Like, I ride enduro, I ride motocross. That stuff has a tendency to bite you, though. But like, I'm pretty good at that. So I must that must be me. But wait, I dive too. Like I scuba dive and y'all probably don't even know I have my cert. I'm dive master and dive instructor. Like I've done a lot of that. So like, maybe I'm a diver. If what you do defines who you are and that is your identity, you don't know who you are. And I'm just going to tell you, you need to grow in who Jesus is, because until you know who he is, you'll never know who you are, and you'll just fabricate your purpose. Am I making sense here, guys? So if I'm going to live in victory, I have to be strong in the Lord, and I have to know who he is. I have to know who I am. I have to know my calling. Go read Ephesians 4 and 5. I have to be strong in the Lord. As a kid growing up, especially in the late summer, I used to look forward to something. It's crazy. Looking back now, I go, what? I used to look forward in late summer when I'd hear it, either on the news or from my parents or from somebody, I'd get so excited. And it was this. I loved them. Hurricanes. I loved the hurricane. I couldn't wait for a hurricane. I was like, a hurricane's coming, especially when it came in like late August and we're already in school, because I'm like, woo, hurricane, hurricane, hurricane party, no school. And as a kid, you're like, why are my parents freaking out? go to school. We're going to have a party. I remember as a kid even sneaking out. And this was so, I forgot the name of the hurricane. Sneaking out with my buddy. And it's like winds howling. And I like get out and get outside of like the carport. And like we're standing there like in the, and it's my buddy next door, Chad Richard. And like we're woo. I'm in the middle of the storm living it up. And my, you know, obviously my mom comes, and I remember watching a tree go, like, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I love hurricanes. How is it that I had no fear in the middle of that insanity? Because if it was really serious like that, he would have said something. He'd come, got me, he'd taken care of me. I'm not worried about that. But can I just say this? The reason that so many people struggle so much in the season that we're in right now is because they weren't ready when the storms came and freaked them out. We're called to be strong in the Lord. David, King David, the greatest king of all, at his lowest point, when the men that he had given his life for turned against him and wanted to kill him for something that wasn't even his fault. The Bible says this. It says, David strengthened, he said, he knelt, he prayed, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. How do you get strong? You choose it by seeking God. Can I tell you why I think I was able to smile when I was going to sleep, when it made no sense, when I should have been just like freaked out? This isn't because I'm a genius or like a super spiritual guy. Neither of those are true. I just know God, and he's really good. And I think part of the reason was I had purposed to take my mind off of the storm, completely off of social media, cut down my news to literally just moments a day. This is a guy who reads news outlets from all over the world, translated into English so I can get a comprehensive view of what's actually happening. By the way, from that perspective, American news is crazy and the rest of the world thinks it's true. And if you read outside countries' news sources, you'll realize how skewed and messed up our news system is. But when you take your eyes off of the storm and you put them on the one who delivers you from it, there's peace. And you know what that's called? Victory. Nehemiah wrote to a nation that was devastated and Jerusalem was in ruins and they're rebuilding it. And Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah says this. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. He's saying this to people who are looking at a devastating situation with enemies all around them, their city in ruins, their temple having been destroyed. And he's saying, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm thinking, what they looking at? What was Nehemiah looking at? Let me tell you what he was looking at. The reality of what was to come, not what actually was. God's going to do some great stuff through us if we get rid of us. And you can't hold on to fear and confusion and doubt and hold on to faith. It doesn't work that way. You get to choose what you believe. And if you were, it doesn't mean that you won't experience emotions of fear or confusion or doubt. What are you holding on to? And I think part of the reason that God's given me such clarity is because I've spent time in his presence and shut out the storms of this world. We have to stay strong. Look at verse 11. Then it says, put on all of God's armor. Y'all see that? Put on all of God's armor. Put on all of God's armor so that you can stand firm against the strategies of the devil. So this is it. Like, we're called. How do we walk in victory? We stay strong. We have to choose it. We stay covered with the protection that God gives us. We stand firm. And then look at verse 12. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The storm is not physical. If you think that the storm is COVID, and political pressures and race relationships and all that. That's the symptoms of the, like, that's the symptoms of the storm. That's the physical manifestation of what the enemy wants to do in bringing fear and doubt and confusion so that he can control people because they're giving to the storm of the world rather than trusting the God who speaks peace to it. Does this make sense, guys? And this is what we're called to. Like, we're called to choose to stay strong and recognize that when we're in our calling, when we're with Jesus, that we're in a place of victory, but we got to stand on that because there is a storm. It is for real. There's a physical manifestation, but that physical manifestation is not the storm. It's just the enemy tweaking people to get them to the place of craziness and then to bring us to the place of being ineffective because we operate from looking at the storm and allowing fear and doubt, confusion to riddle us. Hearts are revealed in storms because foundations are exposed. Sadly, many people have given their heart and laid a foundation of politics as a savior. Can I tell you, politics is man's attempt at manipulating the world. Just remind you about that. I don't care what party you're affiliated with. This is what politics is. And if you think that there's going to be a political savior, you're as foolish as the Jews who at the time thought that Jesus came as a political savior. He did not. Because the battle is not a political one. It's not even a natural one. There's a supernatural battle that rages. Everybody has political opinions and political positions, but they should all be subjected to who Jesus is in our life, and it comes underneath his lordship. This is what we're called to. I don't even know why I said that. I think maybe because I've watched so many people, they've made their opinions their foundation. Everybody has opinions, but if I'm not subjecting my opinion to the authority of Jesus in this word, I'm missing it, man. This is why people walk in and they walk outside of peace too, because their foundation is what they stand on, and they're standing on some crazy stuff. So what does it say that we're stay covered in? You ready? Here we go. We're gonna do this quickly. Are y'all alive out there? Okay, I'm gonna go through it quick. Therefore, verse 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor. This is our covering. This is what protects us. This is what keeps us so that you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. In other words, the storm's coming. What are you gonna be wearing that's gonna protect you from that storm? Because this is what God gives us. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Verse 14, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Here's the truth that you need to know. Because if you get these three aspects of truth, and I've already said them, everything else falls into place. You know who you are because you know who Jesus is and you know what your calling is. You get those three, the rest of your life is no problem. Doesn't mean that you don't fight, doesn't mean that there's a battle, but you know who you are because you know who Jesus is and you know what he's called you to in this moment. That's the belt of truth. Do you know, is this what covers you? Jesus, I know who you are. Thank you for who you are. Lord, you're covering me. You're holding everything together. All of my stuff that's loose, I'm going to bring it tight. Remember, this was when times when people were wearing robes. They didn't have elastic, but they put this belt on it and hold everything together because they knew Jesus, they knew who they were, and they knew what their calling was. Belt of truth. Here's the next one. And the body armor of God's righteousness. God, you've cleansed me. You've forgiven me. I don't want to walk in sin. I turn from it. Help me to do that. I embrace your righteousness. Lord, you protect me from sin because I want to walk in your righteousness. I know in my strength, my own strength, I can't do it because I keep messing up. So Jesus, I need your righteousness. Does that make sense, guys? Y'all following me? Good. For shoes, I love this one. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the, you got it right, what are these two words? From the good news. Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. So here's the thing. The reason that so many Christians have trouble walking in peace is because they're not focused on the good news that Jesus knows them and loves them and has a plan for them and he'll take care of you and protect you and provide for you. They're not focused on the good news. They're focused on bad news. And if you want to focus on bad news, all you have to do is close your spiritual eyes and open your physical ones. See, there's a problem with that, though, because we're going to run into walls, and we should never get behind the wheel of a vehicle if we close our physical eyes. So we have to have them open. Isn't this true? Look, I drove back from El Campo, Wharton, Texas yesterday, and I had to have my eyes open, even though Houston was a ghost town. Like, no joke. I've never seen Houston that dead, ever. Never. Like, it was crazy, and people were flying. I'm getting passed, and I'm hardly doing over the speed limit at 90. And no, seriously, that guy had a King Cab dually with a mini float. That's a huge gooseneck trailer with probably a 40-foot piece of big pipe. He had to be doing 95, 100 feet. It was crazy. I had to drive with my eyes open. Do we live in a world where we have to open our physical eyes? You don't have to, but it sure does help. But if we're going to walk in peace, the 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Focus on the good news of what God's called you to, because you know who you are and you know who He is. This is good news. When you focus on that, you're looking with spiritual eyes. We're living and moving with physical eyes. But we're going to lose our peace if that's all we see. Y'all got it? Next one. Put on the shoes of peace that come from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to these, hold up the shield of faith. Everybody say faith. This is what goes before you to put out the fiery darts of the enemy that are fear, that are doubt, that are confusion, that are chaos. Or do you have faith that is greater than fear? What do you hold on to? I'm going back to what I already said. Like, is it all these crazy things and fear and doubt and confusion and chaos? Or do I trust God? This is the shield that keeps me protected from the attack of the enemy. That's what it says, a shield of faith. Then verse 17, put on salvation as your helmet. Like, is salvation my helmet? Like, am I wearing the helmet? What does that mean? It's Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. We are not called to, like, conform to this world. We are called to be transformed because our mind has been transformed because our heart's been given to Christ. And He doesn't just give us a new heart. That's Ezekiel 36:26, where He says, I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'm going to replace the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Like, we get a new heart, but we have to choose to have our mind transformed by what He speaks to us. Am I making sense here, guys? Like, what? This is where the battle is. You realize it. My heart's for Christ, but is it easy to be conformed to this world? Yeah. Like, of course I know that. Like, I more than y'all know. It's easy. It's easy to think like the world thinks. That's not what we're called to. And then it says this, put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's this for sure. It's the Bible. But God also speaks to us and gives us a word to destroy the works of the enemy. Are we living by that? Am I living by the Spirit of God? Is my mind transformed? Is my heart covered in the righteousness of God? Am I deflecting the enemy because I have faith knowing who God is, who I am, and what He's called me to? Do I operate in the truth? Do I know the core truths of what God's spoken over me? Do I walk in peace because I'm listening to the good news, not the bad news? This is so practical, so practical. This is what we're called to. To walk in victory, I've got to stay strong. I've got to stay covered. And here's the last thing as we wrap up. Verse 11. Put on all of God's armor. Verse 11. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to, what are these two words? Stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Stand firm. We're called to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. How do I walk in victory? I'm going to stay strong. I'm going to walk in strength. I'm going to stay covered. My head, my heart, my hands. One's got the sword of the Spirit. The other's got a shield of faith. Everything held together with God's truth. I'm walking in the good news, not the negative bad news. I'm trusting Him. I'm staying strong. I'm staying covered. But I'm going to stand firm. Because listen to me, the storms of life will come our way. Lots of people are in them right now. I actually know, sadly, lots of people that are sick, which is why we're taking precautions. I know lots of people that have lost their jobs. I know lots of people that have lost their minds and have trouble showing love to one another because of a political or philosophical perspective. We're called to stand firm. Stand firm on what? Man, the verse that God gave me, 2 Corinthians 11:3, that we are strong in the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That should be my focus. That should be my hope. Stand firm. Jesus says this, anyone who listens to my teaching, anyone who listens to my teaching. Why is this important that he says, anyone who listens to my teaching? This is where I got convicted, and it's why I shut off social media screens for the, like, almost no screens at all, hardly any news. Anyone who listens, here's why, anyone who listens to my teaching, because I got convicted, I didn't want my time seeking God to be way underneath my time on social media and news. And that just convicted me. You know, and that was just, that was a thing that God spoke to me in the moment. I'm certainly not condemning people here, but like, am I listening to his teaching? Anyone who listens and follows, it's like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents, has it been raining at your place? And the flood waters rise. I mean, is he describing the last 4 months? And the winds beat against that house. It won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. It's built on bedrock. We're not going to look at the other verses, but he says, if you don't build on that, if you build on that sand, it's going to suck you in. 2 years ago, some good friends from the UK came, and Pastor Matt and Becky Murray, and like, we love them. They stayed with us for 2 weeks, and I gave them the Cajun Wonderland tour of South Louisiana, and we went up to kind of redneck land to Wiskichitta and took them in the Wiskichitta. Y'all ever been there? A lot of fun. And Becky and her son Josiah are like 8 years old, so they're canoeing over here. I'm a little ahead of them, and I see her turning into a bank, but it's like a dark color. It's not right. And like, she pulls over. I don't know what she's doing. She's getting a Coke or a sandwich, or I don't know why she's getting over, but I'm like hollering out like, no. Like, and she gets over and she gets out of the canoe and she steps into the water. And I see her like about right here, but she steps in. This is a real thing. It's not like the cartoons or the movies, but she steps in, it's water, but the composition of the soil is really quicksand. And if you've ever been on the Wiskichitta, it's hard to get out of that stuff. You need help. And so she gets in it, and like, she realizes she can't get up on the bank because like, her feet are stuck. And she's like laughing about it. And I'm like, somebody need to go help that lady. Go help that lady. And she's like, ha ha. And then it gets like deeper. And then I see like the water, like she's sinking. And then she realizes this, she's in a bad spot. And she's going to sink and end up in some trouble. And luckily somebody goes over and pulls her out. But had she not, it could have been a bad day for her. The reason that so many people feel like they're right here is because, I mean, this is so hard. I don't mean it to be. You've built your life on the sand. This isn't condemnation. This isn't pointing a finger in judgment. Trust me, I've been there recently. But it's in those moments where we surrender, say, Jesus, you got this. And the waters begin to recede, and he pulls us up out of the sand and that muck, and he sets us on a rock. It's him. And if you've been living in a place of fear, if it feels like there's just a rain cloud over you, like you got an Eeyore spirit up on you, if you feel like you've been stuck and can't get out, Jesus is saying to you, If you listen to my teaching and follow it, you're wise and you're building on rock. Yep, the rain's going to come, floodwaters are going to rise, the winds are going to beat against you. But it won't collapse. He's with you. That's what we're called to. I don't have a big ending for this. This is our call. It's back to Jesus. It's Revelation chapter 2. And we should turn back to him. Turn from our sin, turn from our ways, and build our life on his bedrock. Jesus, I just pray that right now that you speak to us. And Lord, if we've allowed the rain and the wind and the floodwaters to freak us out and scare us, we've allowed the enemy to speak lies to us, we feel hopeless and lost and alone and rejected, I pray that today that we hear your voice whisper to us that we're your children, that we're loved, that we're wanted, that we're protected by you, and you pull us out of that mucky, sandy lie of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. God bless.
How about y'all, but I appreciate our pastor.